Our third group of stories this week remind us that coronavirus is not the only thing happening in Norfolk. Several talking newspapers were mentioned in the EDP this week, including Chatterbox, which was featured in the Here to Help listings, and the Wyndham and Attleborough talking newspaper. Wyndham are producing a regular recording that can be heard online, and Talking Times in Fakenham are still distributing memory sticks. We will hear more about Talking Times in a moment. The Norwich County Council Trading Standards Department are taking major action to stop the illegal trading of cigarettes and tobacco. An injured bat, which was unable to fly, was found in King's Lynn and is now in the care of the RSPCA. A beautifully preserved ancient brooch has been found in Norfolk, probably in spoil from a tipper truck. We will hear all these stories in a moment, but we will start with one more coronavirus story. Staff at a care home in Aylsham, where Chatterbox has regular listeners, are working marathon 7-day shifts to ensure residents stay safe. Staff at a Norfolk care home are working marathon 7-day live-in shifts to ensure residents stay safe from coronavirus. Manager Stuart Shaw at Aylsham Manor, a converted 17th century building that can cater for up to 30 people, asked staff if they would volunteer to live in for a week, then have a week off in a bid to keep coronavirus at bay. It comes as 92 care homes nationwide have reported recent outbreaks. England's chief medical officer, Professor Chris Whitty, has now declared 13.5% of all UK care homes have been affected by the virus, with calls for more testing of residents. Determined not to become one of those statistics, Mr. Shaw gathered workers and asked them how they felt about living in. Sleeping overnight at the care home and managed to get two teams to work alternate weeks. And with the visitors currently banned, as well as other people who usually provide services such as hairdressing and entertainment, staff have been working around the clock to meet the residents' needs. Residents use FaceTime so they can keep in touch with relatives. Meanwhile, staff on their week off work self-isolate at home, minimising any risk to residents when they return. Mr. Shaw said, "During the live-in week at work, we have been working extremely long days to ensure that our residents are safe, entertained and well looked after. I couldn't be more proud of all my staff members for the amazing care they have provided for our residents at the Aylsham Manor, not just during this particularly hard time, but throughout the time I have been part of the workforce. I'm also proud of all the staff members who were unable to take part in the live-in due to family commitments. We went into lockdown from all visitors 2 weeks before the staff started living in. They are giving up their own home lives and their own loved ones. Some have children, some have husbands and wives, to ensure that our residents are as shielded as possible from this awful virus. I am proud to say that I work with such kind, caring and loving individuals, and we all strive each and every day to ensure that our residents are smiling and still laughing. As long as they are, we will continue to smile and carry on. We are all in this together. The NHS, the bin men, the other carers out there, the shop assistants in supermarkets, and all the little stores, the oil rig workers, and of course, the postmen and women who are also doing their very best in keeping this amazing country going." A charity producing a free talking newspaper for the visually impaired is carrying on despite the coronavirus pandemic. Talking Times was under threat as restrictions over group meetings meant volunteers could not come together to record. Chairman of the charity, Dave Seisman, said, with isolation and the resultant loneliness being one of the negative aspects of this time, the committee felt they should do all they could to continue publishing. Andy Cooper from Fakenham is a musician, so has a small recording studio at home. With help from his wife Annie, who edits and reads the recordings, they have been able to keep the service going. The Royal Mail is picking up and delivering the USB memory sticks from volunteers free of charge. Providing the postal service continues to operate and the team stays well, then the Talking Times should continue to go out. Disrupting the supply of illegal tobacco in Norfolk and protecting vulnerable people from scams are among two of the priorities for the country's watchdogs in the months ahead. The annual service plan of Norfolk County Council's Trading Standards Department has just been agreed, outlining how they will aim to protect people. Last year, more than 1.2 million illegal cigarettes were seized in Norfolk. Trading Standards officers say supply is now spreading to smaller market towns, as well as places like Norwich, King's Lynn and Great Yarmouth. And they say criminal organisations are thought to control the illicit supply of tobacco. Trading Standards officers say illicit tobacco fails to carry health warnings and the unknown composition of the cigarettes presents an additional health hazard to smoking, already the major cause of death in the UK. People can report illegal tobacco sales in Norfolk via the Free Phone Citizens Advice Consumer Service on 0808 223 1133, which is a free phone. That is 0808 223 1133. The department will also continue to tackle underage sales, focusing on dealing with scammers and rogue traders. Miss Laney said, as we have seen in the current COVID-19 environment, fraudsters will exploit any circumstances they can to steal money from both consumers and businesses. We will continue to work with partners to take a united stand against scams and scammers. An injured bat, which was unable to fly, is now in care of the RSPCA after a passerby found the mammal in a car park. The bat was saved by a member of the public after they discovered it at the Old Vicarage car park in King's Lynn. After calling the RSPCA's emergency line, the rescuer was advised to keep the bat safe until dusk in the hope that it would fly away when it got dark. But when the bat did not move, our RSPCA inspector, Jason Finch, was called to help. He said the caller did the right thing in keeping the bat safe until dusk and seeing if he was able to fly. Wild animals benefit from having as little contact with us humans as possible. And if he was able to fly off, that would have been the best for him. However, he was clearly in need of help when he still wasn't able to fly that evening. So I collected him in a box from outside the caller's home and took him to RSPCA East Winch Wildlife Centre. After being examined, it seems he has a tear to the very fine skin on one of his wings. But with some rest and care, he is otherwise bright and alert and should make a good recovery and be able to be released in time. He was lucky to have been found by the person who called us for help. They undoubtedly saved his life. The RSPCA says fully grown bats are often mistaken for baby bats due to their small size. But if a member of the public suspects they have found one, they are advised to call the Bat Conservation Trust on 0345 130 0228, that is 0345 130 0228, which can put them in touch with a local bat carer. A beautifully preserved centuries-old brooch discovered in mid-Norfolk has been described by the British Museum as one of the most significant finds of last year. It comes after the museum revealed that the number of treasure finds made by members of the public hit a record level in 2019. Treasure, which is generally defined as gold and silver objects that are more than 300 years old, or groups of coins and prehistoric metalwork, reached a preliminary figure of 1,311 across England, Wales and Northern Ireland during last year. One find was a beautifully preserved 1,100-year-old medieval brooch unearthed in Great Dunham between Dereham and King's Lynn after a tipper truck delivered spoil. The brooch is described as a rare type for this period. A report on the early medieval silver and yellow 9th century brooch said it was found in a closed position, incredibly well preserved. It added a rare find of this condition and type, a distinctive stylized Anglo-Saxon decoration called Trewhiddle, featuring zoomorphic beasts, plant motifs and geometric design, helps date the brooch to the 9th century in line with similar finds from this period. Whilst we know the find spot of the brooch, an investigation of the site revealed that the topsoil was composed of recently delivered spoil from a tipper truck delivering from somewhere else in mid-Norfolk. It is possible that the brooch therefore originates in the region of Pentney, Norfolk, given the similarity with that spectacular collection of brooches which are on display in the Sutton Hoo Gallery of the British Museum, and whose virtuoso craftsmanship and inventive decoration put them in the first rank of Middle Saxon metalwork.